Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, where we find our text this morning, talking about the kingdom of God and kingdom corrections, the Lord correcting some false teaching of his day. And we walk through a lot of those in chapter 5 and here in chapter 6. We've been talking about some of people's favorite things to hear about at church, like giving. Everybody loves to come to church and hear the pastor preach on giving. So we did that. Last time we talked about prayer, and that's a little easier to swallow. We all know that we ought to pray. We all know that we ought to pray. And we all have experienced the benefits of prayer. So we're like, you're right, pastor, I ought to pray. And I'm like, you're right, we ought to pray. And so that's easy. Today we're going to talk about another thing people don't want to hear about, and that's called fasting. Exciting to talk about not eating. And so we're going to stand together if you're able. We're going to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. I have a ton of information about fasting that I want to share with you for a couple of different reasons. One is the Bible has more to say about it than you might realize. Two, it's something that was grossly neglected, I believe, in my generation coming up. I can literally think of times, it seems in my memory at least, however trustworthy that is, hearing pastors read a passage of scripture that talked about fasting and prayer and never mention fasting again other than to read the verse that said it. I think it's been grossly neglected in our teaching, so I want to make sure that we fully understand it. Plus, there's a ton of misinformation about fasting going on in Christian circles today, and so we want to figure out what the Bible says, if that's all right with you. So I got a ton of information. We'll talk about it this morning, this afternoon, and again later if we need more time. So let's pray that God will speak to us through his word. Brother Mike, will you open us in prayer? Lead us in prayer. While you're still standing, Jesus says in verse 16, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thine face, that thou may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly." Amen. Please be seated. Much like with prayer and giving, the Lord is interested in secrecy. The hypocrites did what they did. Their charitable deeds were done for men to see their charitable deeds so that they would be seen as holy and good and spiritual. And Jesus said that's their reward. They got their reward. They would pray long, flowery prayers up in front of everybody so that they could appear before men to be spiritual. And Jesus says they got their reward. They got what they wanted. They wanted people to see them. They wanted people to think that they were super spiritual. And that's what they got. But what they missed out on were the rewards from our Father in heaven. And wouldn't you today rather say, I want to do what God's pleased with so that God will bless and forget about what people think? Okay? All right, so that's the heart of what we're talking about. Fasting is one of the most talked about things in the health world today. If any of you are on any kind of social media, I can only imagine that you've at least come across one or two ads that deal with fasting. There are apps for fasting. There are books that you can buy and read about fasting, and it's nothing new. It's been going on for a really long time. Social media, news, studies by the National Institute of Health, clinical trials published by the New England Journal of Medicine, research people like Dr. Longo at Southern California, Dr. Mattson at Johns Hopkins, they've all talked about the amazing health benefits that come from fasting. I want to share a couple of them with you. At 12 hours without food, in your body, some things that start to happen, blood glucose and insulin levels begin to decline naturally just because you haven't eaten in 12 hours. Between 12 to 16 hours, ketone production begins and the body starts burning fat for fuel. So it'll use your fuel, the body fat will start burning. That'll be your energy instead of what you ate because you haven't eaten 12 to 16 hours. At 18 hours, something called autophagy or cellular cleanup activates and basically your body goes into repair mode. And the cells of your body will start to repair and recycle damaged cells. So literally at 18 hours, your body starts going into this mode where it just cleans up bad cells, okay? At 24 hours, inflammation decreases and immune function begins to get strengthened. Between 24 and 48 hours, deeper cellular repair occurs, oxidative stress decreases, and at 72 hours, stem cell activation has already started and damaged immune cells are cleared and replaced. So at 72 hours, your stem cells get activated and your body starts regenerating things. So not only is it cleaned up, not only is your body burning fat for fuel, and so you're gonna burn that unwanted fat and all those things. Now your body's repairing itself, it's getting rid of damaged cells. So all of these health benefits are being seen from fasting. I just want to ask you, does it surprise you that fasting is good for you? No, nobody's surprised by that? Okay. It has these health benefits that the world seems to have discovered, and we're not surprised by that. But did you know that in your Bible, it never says anything about the health benefits of fasting? Amen. Not one time does it say anything about you should fast because it's good for you. You should fast because it's going to make your body healthier. It never says that. But we're not surprised when we find that things that we see as good in the Bible are good for us. Are we? What God's word tells us is good, we shouldn't be surprised. So the world is out there telling you how to fast for physical benefits, but I just want you to understand something. Biblical fasting has nothing to do with our health benefits. That's not the purpose at all. That's not the purpose at all. The purpose is spiritual. It's about humbling ourselves before our God. It's about seeking His mercy and seeking His face. It's about devoting ourselves to prayer and to repentance. It is not about dieting. It's not about personal achievement. It's not about being seen of men, but it is about drawing closer to God. Amen. That's what it's about. So in our text, Matthew 6:16, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. So what happened? Well, these same ones who would stand and give their flowery prayers, the same ones who would bring their charitable deeds, and they would give them, blow the trumpets so everybody could know how good and generous they were, these same people, when they fasted, they wanted to make sure everyone knew that they were fasting so that they would disfigure their faces. They would try to look really, really sad and suck in their cheeks and make it look like they had gone a really long time without eating so everyone would know. They would kind of shuffle along all miserable like they hadn't eaten in days so that everybody would be like, look how spiritual they are. These people don't even eat. And they would try to make themselves look like they had been fasting. They would put ash on themselves so that they looked like they were in mourning and sorrow. And all the while, listen, if you saw them in that day, you would have thought, that person is devoted to God. You would have. Wouldn't you be impressed by somebody who fasts multiple times in the week? Wouldn't you be impressed by somebody who you knew had gone without food for day after day after day? Wouldn't you be like, man, those people are devoted? Okay, guys, come on. If you saw somebody and you knew they hadn't eaten in days, you wouldn't be impressed by that? Like most of us, like, I got to be in the hospital where I can't eat if I'm not going to eat for days. Like, if somebody's doing that out of devotion to God, you would look at them and you say, man, this person is committed to God. These people are devoted to the cause of God. But Jesus sees right through all that. Amen. And where you and I would be like, man, that's impressive. Those people love God. Jesus looks right through that and says, I know they didn't do it for me. I know they didn't do it for our Heavenly Father. I know that they did it for the applause of men. So we can't see. And let it be a reminder to all of us today that you don't know You don't know what's in somebody's heart. And I don't know what's in somebody's heart, but God does. So two things happen because of that. One, I can't judge what else is in somebody else's heart. I can't. So I should stop trying. I should stop doing that. And two, I should make sure that what I do is out of a right heart of devotion to God, not for the applause of men. They would disfigure their faces. They were hypocrites. They were just putting on a show. Remember, hypocrite is the idea of a stage actor. These are people who are just putting on a show for other people to see. Jesus sees right through that. They have their reward. But you, when you fast, verse 17, when you fast. Now, I'm going to go through some things here in a minute, but just let me go ahead and tell you, there is only one command in all of the Bible. Only one time does God command to fast. There's only one place where the scripture commands God's people to fast. Only one time. We'll look at it in a minute. There are no other places where it's commanded. What we do find is examples of people who follow God fasting, and it's all through the Bible. So there's no command to do so except for one. It's in the Old Testament. The rest of the time, we just have all these people who do fast. But can I just remind you that there's an expectation here? Jesus says, when you pray, we understand that Jesus expects his disciples to pray. Amen. He says, when you do your charitable deeds, when you give your alms, we understand that Jesus expects those in his kingdom to give. Amen. And so it follows that we would have the same understanding with fasting. That if Jesus says, when you fast, to his disciples, that there must be an expectation on his part at some level that we would fast. The people who were there that day were people who would fast from time to time. And so there was an expectation of fasting. And he says, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face. What's the purpose of that? So that you don't appear to men to fast, but to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly. So here it is. The hypocrites, they're putting ash on their face. I got an idea. I read somewhere, and I don't know if this part's true or not, but I want to share it anyway. Not only did they put the ash on their head as a sign of their mourning and all that, but they actually do it in a way to make it look like their faces were drawn in. You guys know what I'm talking about? I don't really understand this, but apparently women can do their makeup in such a way to make their face shape look different. Is that true? Could somebody acknowledge that? Okay, yes, yeah, thank you. I don't know much about that. I don't usually wear makeup, so I don't know. Okay, I don't ever wear makeup. Yeah, you were worried there for a second, weren't you? So they would actually be like strategic in how they put the ash on their face to make it look like their cheeks were sunk in. Isn't that great? So Jesus says, don't do that. I want you to wash your face. I want you to your face to look like it really looks, and I want you to put oil on your head. That's the idea of anointing your head with oil. In other words, you get yourself cleaned up and you look as good as you can look physically so that people aren't going to think that you're fasting. In other words, it's almost like the idea that Jesus doesn't want you to act like you're fasting. He wants you to look like it's just any other day. Amen. Make sense to you? The first time I started learning about fasting, I was really worried about this because I live with people and they know whether I eat or not. And I remember coming into this, like, I was really nervous. Like, I don't even know if I can fast because I got to hide it from Melissa so she won't know that I'm fasting. I'm not saying that you need to try to hide it from the people that live with you. I don't think that that was Jesus' intent. Like, if you live with somebody, they're probably going to know whether you eat or not. Amen. Okay, you guys get this, don't you? Amen. Like, you got to communicate with the people that you live with. Like, if your wife fixes a meal and you go home, you're like, no, I'm not eating that. You might want to let her know ahead of time, right? Sweetheart, it's not that I don't like your cooking. And listen, just as a side note, it'd be a good idea if you know what's on the menu that you don't strategically plan on when to fast based on what's on the menu. She's got a dish you don't really care for, like, that'd be a good day to fast. I think you're missing the point. I think if you really wanted to do that, then you would probably pick your favorite thing and skip that. Okay. When you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you appear not unto men to fast. People don't need to know. The people you live with are going to know because you live with them, and they're going to know whether you're eating or not. But outside of that, you ought to try to hide it as much as you can. It's not always possible. Sometimes people are going to find out. The point is that you're not trying to boast about your fast. You're not trying to say, look at me. You're trying to focus on the Lord. So our fasting, we can't do it with hypocrisy. We have to do it with sincerity, which means that we do it in secrecy. So there's secrecy and sincerity, just like every other thing we've been talking about here in chapter 6. Now, I do want to walk through some of the fasts that we see in the Bible, starting in the Old Testament. You might remember a guy named Moses. And Moses goes up into the mountain with God, and at least two times, some people would argue three, but I think it's two times, he goes up into the mountain, he gets the law from God, and both times when he goes up into the mountain and gets the law from God, he goes without eating for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights he fasts. Why? Why does he do that? What's his purpose? Listen, he is separated from everything in the world and he is alone with God. The reason he fasts is because God is sustaining him. Okay? Listen to me. If you leave here today like, I'm going to take on fasting, I think I'm going to just try for 40 days. Okay? You do that, make sure somebody checks on you regularly and I'll come visit you in the hospital. Okay? 40 days. Listen, Moses did not eat or drink for 40 days. That is humanly impossible. I see people post on Facebook and stuff or on YouTube about their 40-day fast. Their 40-day fast consists of drinking bouillon or other things. Like, they are not fasting without food or drink for 40 days. They're not. It is a miraculous thing that Moses did. And it shows us how God sustained him. How the presence of God was all that he needed. Israel was given a command one time to fast. It's the only direct command by God to fast in all the Bible, and it was on the Day of Atonement. And on the Day of Atonement, Israel was commanded to afflict their souls. It was an annual corporate time of repentance and humility, and it's the only direct command in all the Bible that I can find where God says, don't eat this day. And it was from sunrise to sunset, and during those daylight hours, the people of Israel would not eat. Nobody ate on that day. Not men, not women, not children. Nobody ate any food that day, and all day long. Why? Because the Day of Atonement was a day of repentance. Amen. It was a day to afflict their souls. It was a day, the whole day was to recognize that Israel had sinned against God. And that their sins were being paid for by a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. And so on that day, it was a day not to eat. And nobody ate in Israel on that day. It's the only time it's commanded. There's fast all through other places. You can read about fast in Judges and 1 Samuel. You can read it in, of course, 1 Chronicles. The men of Jabesh Gilead fasted for 7 days when Saul and Jonathan were killed. They didn't eat for 7 days. To mourn the loss. So in their great heartache, they didn't eat anything. We remember when David's child was stricken with sickness. Amen. After his sin with Bathsheba and murder of Uriah, that the child was struck sick and he fasted. He fasted. He did not eat. He laid on the ground in sackcloth and ash, and he fasted, pleading with God, because he was pleading with God that God would save the child alive. And he said, our God is merciful. I don't know whether he'll save him or not. But he fasted. You might remember Jehoshaphat proclaiming a fast when a great multitude was coming from Assyria to invade Israel. He fasted. He called on the people to fast. He recognized, we cannot fight this enemy. They're too great for us. He was terrified. And so he fasted and he prayed and he called out to God to help them. The exiles, when Ezra is leading the people back, when they're coming back into this to Israel, they're coming back to Jerusalem, they stop along the way. I don't know if you remember this one, but along the river, when they're getting ready to cross over, he stops the people and he says, listen, I told the king that God was going to watch over us, and I'm ashamed to ask for help. So we're going to fast now, and we're going to ask God to protect us in the way, because we can't protect ourselves, and I'm too ashamed to ask the king for help, because I already boasted and said God's going to watch out for us. So let's fast and pray and ask God to watch over us. And guess what? He did. Amen. They fasted and they prayed. They afflicted themselves before God and they sought his face, and God brought them safely back into the land. You might remember when Nehemiah heard about the condition of the city of Jerusalem. The wall is broken down. The gates are burned. Do you remember what he did? He fasted and he prayed because his heart was broken for Jerusalem. You might remember in the book of Esther, when Haman has got a plan to kill all the Jews everywhere in the empire, that they call for a fast before she goes in before the king and says, we're going to fast for 3 days and we're not going to eat anything or drink anything for 3 days. And they all fasted. Why? Because they were terrified of their enemies. Every Jew in the empire was about to be slaughtered by decree of the king. And they said, we can't do anything. Amen. We need God's help. And so they fasted and they prayed. You can read about fasting in the Psalms, in the prophets. You can read about fasting all through the Old Testament. Even the enemies of God fasted. You remember when Jonah goes to Nineveh? And he says, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. You remember that? Do you guys remember how the king, this godless pagan king who hated God and the people of God, how he responded? He repented and he fasted and he prayed and he put on sackcloth and ash, and everybody in the city, the Bible says the people and even their animals fasted. Nobody and nothing ate because of the fear of God that came on that place. And God spared them from the judgment that he had proclaimed because they fasted and they prayed and they humbled themselves before God. And we know about Daniel seeking God by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, how Daniel was a humble and faithful man, a man filled with faith in the Spirit of God. And he fasted and he prayed all through the Old Testament. Even in the New Testament, we see Jesus teaches us here about sincere and secret fasting. Jesus was questioned, his disciples were questioned about fasting. Some came to him and said, why is it that John the Baptist's disciples and us Pharisees, we fast all the time, but your disciples, they don't fast? And do you remember what Jesus told them? Well, as long as the bridegroom is with them, why would they fast? Amen. But when the bridegroom's gone, then they will fast. And Jesus says, I'm here. No need to fast while I'm here. But when I'm gone, then my disciples will fast. You guys track him with me right now? Amen. I don't know if you're aware of this, but he's still gone. He has ascended. Amen. And we are still waiting for his glorious return. In between his ascension and his return, we wait for him. This is a time for fasting. This is a time for fasting. Cornelius, that Roman, fasted and prayed, and God came to him and sent Peter to bring the gospel to him. The church at Antioch was fasting and ministering to the Lord, and the Spirit came to them and sends out Barnabas and Saul for the work that God had called them to do. Paul talks about being fasting often, and some of those times were times that he chose to fast, and some of them were because he was in a bad place and couldn't eat. But there were fastings often. So what's all of it about? Let me just give you a quick list for the note takers in the room, just to see some of the purpose and occasions of fasting in the Bible. One is mourning, or we might say lament, like lamentations. When you are brokenhearted, it is a time we see fasting in the Bible. Okay? And you get this, right? Have there never been times in your life when you were so heartbroken that food was the farthest thing from your mind? Amen. I can't eat. I don't want to eat. I don't care about eating. Amen. And so it's just a natural thing. You are so brokenhearted and mourning a loss, and it just doesn't matter. That's Nehemiah. Nehemiah fasted as much because he was brokenhearted for the condition of Jerusalem as anything. He was devastated over it. So there's a time of mourning. Repentance and confession. We see in the Bible not only this idea of mourning and lament, but repentance and confession. When you are broken over your sin and you want to turn to God, you're so sick over your sin, you don't want to eat. Amen. You don't think about eating. And if you did eat, it would just be like dirt in your mouth. It's nothing to you because you're repenting and you're turning to God. And your physical doesn't matter, but your spiritual does. This was seen all through the Old Testament, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Daniel. Daniel, when he fasted and prayed and put sackcloth and ashes on, he was devastated for the sin of Israel. And friends, can I just tell you, we ought to be broken over the sin of our nation. We ought to be broken over the sin of our church. We ought to be broken over the sin in our lives. And so fasting can come with repentance. There was fasting, I mentioned some, for protection or for deliverance, like Ezra and those exiles. When they were afraid, they fasted and prayed. They fasted because they needed God to protect them, and they knew that they needed God to protect them. It'd be a good time. People who were going into battle sometimes would fast. Not a bad idea to show your devotion to God and your desperation for his help. When the enemy's coming and you know you can't save yourself, there was fasting. There was fasting for guidance or for leadership. We saw that in Acts 13, especially when God was going to raise up some men to be leaders, fasting often preceded it. And we see it even with the Lord. He prayed all night long. He prayed all night long before he called his apostles and appointed them for their apostleship. Preparation for spiritual battle. Through the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see fasting associated with oncoming battle. It goes very close, hand in hand, to the protection and deliverance. And then, of course, I told you, the Old Testament, they had that annual observance. They had a day set aside, the Day of Atonement, for a time of fasting. So all of that to say this, you and I have no command in the Bible to fast. There's nothing in the Bible that commands a New Testament saint, a disciple of Jesus, there's nothing in the Bible that commands you to fast. We don't observe the Day of Atonement. Why? Because our great high priest Jesus has entered into the holies once for all. He made a sacrifice of himself forever, and he is sat down at the right hand of the Father. On the Day of Atonement, remember, the high priest had to go into the Holy of Holies. He had to first make a sacrifice for his own sins, and then he could make a sacrifice for the sin of the people, and he would take the blood of that sacrifice into the Holy of Holies. He would sprinkle it on the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant as a covering for sin, and then he would go out, and the next year he would come back and he would do it again. You guys remember, it's kind of a quip, but in the temple and in the tabernacle, there were no chairs. Of all the furniture that God put in there, there's no seats because the priest's job was never done. You never get to sit down. There's always incense to burn. There's always showbread to make. There's always sacrifices to be given. And their work was never finished until Jesus showed up. When Jesus came and he paid the price of his own blood for our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And so there is no Day of Atonement for us to remember, to commemorate. There's no time for us to go back and say, all right, well, we're gonna fast on this day because of the Day of Atonement. No, Christ is our sacrifice once and for all. Okay, so you have no command to fast. But Jesus said when you fast. It's not a direct command. But there is an expectation of our Lord. So if we're going to do it, let's try to figure out why we ought to do it. I think motives matter. Do you guys think motives matter? I think what you do matters. But why you do it matters as well. It's the whole point of what Jesus is teaching us, right? Number one, let me give you some New Testament purposes for fasting. Number one, prepare for ministry and to gain spiritual strength. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. The Lord Jesus, before he was tempted in the wilderness, the Lord Jesus was fasting for 40 days and nights. Miraculously, much like Moses, sustained by the Spirit of God, like Moses, Jesus fasted all that time. Why? It was a time of preparation of our Lord for what he was about to do. Now, does that mean you and I need to go fast for 40 days before we can do anything for Jesus? No. But it does mean that when we fast, one of the reasons would be to prepare ourselves for the ministry, to get ourselves ready to do the work of the Lord. Andrew Murray said, fasting helps to express, to deepen, and to confirm the resolution that we are ready to sacrifice anything, even ourselves, to attain to the kingdom of God. What fasting does is it says, I'm going to withhold food from myself so that I learn to afflict my flesh because I want to prepare my spirit. I'm going to give everything to him, even the, and especially the desires of the flesh. I guess I should have started with the definition, just so you know. The word fast means to be without food. That's what it literally means. And I know there's all kinds of popular Christian fasts today. Some of you, I mean, you couldn't even imagine this. Some people fast from coffee. How many of you think that would be awful? It would be terrible. Some of you are getting a headache just thinking about it. Some people go without coffee and they're like, that's my fast unto the Lord. Just so you know, technically speaking, and I think biblically speaking, to fast means to go without food. That's what it is. Now, there are times that the Bible tells us and specifies, like with Moses, that they fasted without food or drink. Okay? Now, a normal fast in the Bible, you can drink. You would drink, but you wouldn't eat. So technically, at the baseline, fasting means no food. When you add in no drink, that's an excessive, that's an exceptional fast. It goes above and beyond a normal fast, okay? So listen, if you say, I'm not going to play video games for the next 2 days, that's not fasting. Everybody with me right now? I mean, it might be a good idea, but it's not really a fast. So you're like, I'm going to fast from social media for 2 hours. Okay, that's number one. It's not really fasting. Amen. Might be a good idea. And you might stretch it past 2 hours, like a lot. But it's not fasting. Okay, preparation for ministry. Number two, worship and ministering to the Lord. Remember Acts 13:2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. They ministered to the Lord, and they were fasting. So you had all of these leaders in the church at Antioch, and none of them were eating anything this day, and they were worshiping and serving the Lord together. And that's when the Lord steps in their ministry and gives them direction and guidance. It goes right along to number three, seeking guidance. Seeking guidance. When they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. The Bible says down in Acts 14:23, when they had ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. So seeking guidance is part of fasting, a purpose for fasting. Number four, longing for Christ's presence. Longing for Christ's presence. I mentioned this. It's Matthew chapter 9. But Jesus says, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Charles Spurgeon said this, and he uses a word I had to look up, so I'll try to define it for you. Fasting is a fit concomitant of mourning. It's something that goes along well with, okay? Fasting is fit to go along with mourning. When the bridegroom is gone, then the time has come for fasting. The absence of the Lord Jesus is a time of mourning to all who know him. Amen. In studying for this message, this is probably one of the most convicting things that I've read. Those who know him, to those who know him, the absence of the Lord Jesus is a time of mourning to all who know him. Now, I get it. I commune with God every day. Amen. When I pray, I come into his presence. When I read the scriptures, he speaks to me. Amen. And I feel the presence of God through his spirit. Amen. Everybody get that? But friends, it is not the same as one day when we get to see him. Amen. It's not the same as when we bow down before his throne. Amen. It's not the same as when we come and lay down at his feet. Amen. You guys get that? Like, I am so thankful for the Holy Spirit. I'm thankful for his presence that I feel in my heart. I'm thankful for the word that I can hear God speak to me through his word. I'm thankful for all of those things, but it is not the same as it will be one day. Amen. And so my heart yearns. My heart longs to be with him. And fasting is an appropriate response to that. Amen. Number five, spiritual warfare. Did you guys know we're in spiritual warfare? Amen. Did you know that we have an enemy? He is who? Satan, the devil. who has a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Did you know that there are angels? Did you know that there are demons? Did you know that they're active in the world today? That spiritual warfare is going on all around us all the time, even right now? In this moment, in this room, with the Word of God open, many of you open on your laps, there are still demons at work right now, trying to distract, trying to cause doubt, trying to turn you away from the truth of God. There is warfare going on, and fasting is a good time. Fasting is, spiritual warfare is a good purpose for fasting. Remember when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, there was a man whose child had a demon, and the disciples were not able to cast that demon out. But Jesus does, and then they say, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus' answer in Matthew 17:21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. A.W. Tozer said this, prayer is not a substitute for work, nor is work a substitute for prayer. The mightiest victories are won by prayer and fasting, and the work is merely gathering up the results. Amen. The greatest victories are won by prayer and fasting. The work that we do, that's just gathering up the results of our praying and our fasting. Number six, repentance, mourning, and humbling the soul. We talked about this. It is a time to mourn. Fasting is to help to mourn. It is a means to tame the wildness of the flesh and to bring it into subjection to the spirit, Thomas Watson said. It's a means to tame the wildness of the flesh and to bring it into subjection to the spirit. It's a time to help in our mourning. Number seven, seeking God's favor and hearing his voice. In Acts 10, I mentioned Cornelius, but here's what he said. 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. God sent an angel to him while he was fasting. Amen. And praying. Fasting and prayer go together. Number eight, focused devotion. Focused devotion with prayer. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we studied this a while back, but the Apostle Paul tells couples, married people, he says, don't defraud one another unless it's with consent for a time for fasting and prayer. Amen. That you would set aside focused devotion. And number nine, discipline. Discipline and endurance in ministry. Discipline and endurance in ministry. I'm going to say this. We read about the Apostle Paul and all the stuff that he went through, and sometimes he fasted because he didn't have any food. But his spiritual fast that he did before that prepared him for that time. The fact that he had disciplined his body by not eating when he wanted to helped him to get through the times when he couldn't eat. That makes sense? Amen. And the same thing's going to be true for you. Listen, I don't want to wish anything bad on anybody. I hope that you can live all of your days in the goodness and peace and enjoying the blessings of God. But there is going to come a time when food is going to be gone from you. Food is going to be like gravel in your mouth. Food is not going to be something that you want. And when you discipline yourself before those times through regular fasting, it's going to help you in those times. Everybody tracking? Amen. Okay. All right. I got so much more to say, but we're gonna try to bring it in for a landing right here. What did you tell me the other day, Bill Don? Brother Crawford said that his sermons were like a stick of bologna. You could cut it off anywhere. I haven't perfected that yet. I got to find a place to land usually. But let me just say this. There are a lot of details about fasting. There are a lot of principles and practicalities that we want to get. I hope something, you've got some kind of a big picture at least, and that you have seen some of the ways people fasted in the Bible and why they did, some purposes from the New Testament. But I want to give you more details this afternoon. The nuts and bolts, the practicalities of how to fast. And there are tons of questions that come with it. I just want you to get this principle. And I'm going to ask our musicians to go ahead and make your way to the front. While you're staying with me, let me say this. I don't know much, but I know this. Prayer and fasting always go together. Amen. If you're going to fast without praying, you have wasted your time. Now, you could pray, it's all through the scriptures, you can pray without fasting, right? Amen. But you cannot fast spiritually, biblically, you cannot fast without praying. If you're going to fast and you're not going to pray, then that is not a biblical fast. And God has put these things together in Scripture every single time. It's always prayer and fasting. So if you got a heart for this, you want to start to fast unto the Lord, then be here at 1 o'clock, and we'll try to get some more principles and practicalities and how to do it. But here's what I want to say to you. The whole purpose of this is our devotion to Christ. The whole purpose of fasting is really to experience His kingdom here and now in a deeper way, in a greater way, in a more meaningful way. It's about the spiritual. It's about your devotion to Him. It's about drawing closer to Him. It's about seeing His will done here, not our will done. It's the whole purpose, to draw close to Him. But friend, if you have never been born again, you cannot be close to Him. You can fast and pray and fast. You can afflict yourself all you want to, but if you don't come by faith, you don't come at all. So this morning, if you've never trusted Christ, I plead with you to put your faith in the one who died for you and rose again. And if you have been saved, that you'll take the next step. Maybe that's baptism. Maybe God's leading you to officially be a part of this church. Whatever it is, if He is convicting your heart, you respond in faith and obedience while we sing.
Page 544.